I bet it's probably very similar fortune builders to what CGI was.
Yes, as far as like prime years grinding.
Grinding, and then like it's all about the number. Like it was numbers everywhere. Like you had like just your numbers everywhere, like dials that you made. There was the sales you had that week, the month. Yeah. Everybody's competitive. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be in the top spot because that's where all the love is.
Yep.
I mean, there's money in the top spot too, which is great. But you really wanted the shout outs. I was a shout out guy. I wanted the shout out.
Me too. Yeah. It's all about the recognition, like percentage of goal. I was just talking to my wife about this because she was on the sales floor. That's where I met her.
Oh, cool.
Fortune Builders. There was a Google Sheet document that had everyone's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And like the not the boss of the sales floor, but his boss would it was view only mode for the Google Sheets. Familiar with Google Sheets probably. And he would hover his cursor on someone's cell that was doing really bad that week. Dude, yeah. So it was a dog eat dog. Yep. So everyone knew like if his
don't like that.
His cursor was on your number that you weren't doing good.
Yeah. So. Wait, so explain, and I'm real excited to have you, Ethan, because I love what you're doing. Yeah. I think you are crushing it, and I, you know, learning a little bit more about you. It's a family company with you and your wife, and I you know, you were very open on some social media posts about your you know, maybe you, it's not that you could go back and change things because it's made you who you are, but you've obviously went through some turmoil as a, you know, 10, 12 years ago, and it probably was needed in order to wake you up a little bit. Why don't we talk about just that, like where you were 12 years ago and then kind of where you are today?
Yeah, so long story short, I was just making very bad decisions in my life.
Mm.
Got arrested, and it really changed my life, changed my perspective. I lost everything. I lost friends. I lost faith in my family, too. And it inspired me to, like, look for a change. And I stumbled across network marketing. You know, so basically I got into pyramid schemes. But within within that, you find personal development.
Yeah.
And 1 year after getting arrested, I saw like Eric Thomas live.
Mm.
Beast. It was awesome. And then falling into like Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins and like really diving deep into that stuff. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That opened my mind up. And it eventually led to me meeting people in the real estate industry. And that's how I kind of like got my foot in the door.
Yeah, I love that because Jim Rohn was like, I'll just put him on, you know, most days, just in the background. And obviously, I think I'm more of a Jim Rohn guy than I am a Tony Robbins guy. I'm actually an Ed Mylett guy. That's my guy.
Nice.
But yeah, personal development. You know, for me, and let me ask you this, is it because you need it so much? Like, for me, I talk about it a lot because I need it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, what about you?
Yes, it definitely fuels me. It inspires me. I think one of the biggest things is we're doing leadership training with our team right now and my acquisition manager. And one of the biggest things is like John C. Maxwell, law of leadership is the law of the lid. Is there's like a grid and it's skills and then leadership. And your effectiveness of that skill is determined by your leadership, right? So mm-hmm. if your skill is like a 10, but a 1 leadership, you only have that little bar. But if you have like a 6 skill, but a 10 leadership, right, you're going to be more effective than the person with a 10 skill. And I think effectiveness with leadership first starts with like personal development.
Mm-hmm.
So I always feel like I'm fueling myself as a leader every time that I'm like listening to someone like Jim Rohn or Tony Robbins, Ed Mylett. Things like that.
Well, that's a really good way to frame it.
Yeah.
You look at all that is a lot of as a leader.
Yeah. I think it all stems down to leadership for personal development. Because if you're taking the time to be intentional in your growth and you're growing like that, you're inevitably going to be able to lead people in the right direction. It all starts with you, right? Jim Rohn says that. Mm-hmm. His quote is, your value in the marketplace is determined by like your personal development.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that's how I approach it is like, how much am I feeding my mind so I can bring that value to other people?
It's so hard to give that to other people, though. And this is just an excuse from my end because I'm not that great at that. Like, I've always been the salesperson. Like, I got to do it on my own type of mentality. And that's not great. It's like my limiting. It's like probably one of the worst things about my whatever. If you looked at like the, you know, they always have those like, you know, what's your attributes and, you know, those skill graphs of like, what are you, where are you at over here? And then you're over here. It's always like, all right, what do I got to do to like make, I'm like, I want to drive the company. And then, so a lot of times I'm leaving my sales team out of, you know, just, I'm not meeting with them enough. I'm expecting them to kind of do what I'm doing, but they're not getting it enough for me. How do you do that at your company?
No, that's my same struggle too. Cause like mine came from sales background, right?
Yeah.
And like, I believe in sales more than anything.
Me too.
And I don't know about you, but I get like frustrated very easily same. Because of that.
yeah.
I'm very like results driven, like, you know, just get it done kind of mentality. But I kind of just force myself to, you know, in Fortune Builders, actually, one of the biggest things they taught us is they had a book that they made all the leadership read. It was Scaling Up. It's like this huge textbook. I've never personally read it. It's like 800 pages. But one of the things that they adopted was certain meetings throughout a week. And they have to be at like specific times so people remember. Mm-hmm. So we do something called the Daily Huddle. It's at 10:10 every morning. You have to fill out your sheet and we go over what we're grateful for, our wins, and what is holding us back this week from achieving our goals.
Wow.
Right. So like it's supposed to be like a 10 to 15 minute daily huddle. Everyone takes their turn. And then we have two, what I call like mindset impact sessions, where on Monday and Thursday at 12:30, we focus on mindset. So whether it's like watching a video together, we're reading a book as a company. And then on Thursday, it's going to be about sales. So it's me either teaching or having like some sort of video or training that I used in the past and sharing it with the team. So like for me, I have to be super intentional with that stuff, or I'm just like you. It's like I'll go and try to get more deals before I like sit down with my guys and like intentionally train.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. I need to implement those things. I mean, we are not intentional enough on those. And that's, it's showing at this moment. So good stuff there.
I'd be lying if I said that there's some times where I just cancel it every once in a while. So,
well, if you have a point, if you're, that's the toughest part. Cause like I'm on the go meeting with the people, you know, I'm also dialing. I'm also, you know, going to do, so again, all excuses. Cause you can make time to do it, but you'd go, I mean, I just met with them and they're still not doing it. And so it's just, you have to be super intentional. What does that look like? Like, what does your sales team look like? Is it, do you have, are they in-house? Are they virtual? Are they, you know, how long have they been with you? What's that look like?
Yeah. So they're both, acquisitions is in-house. And then we have follow-up specialists who are virtual.
Got it.
Yeah. So, just about 2 years ago, and I'm just getting over sick, so
you're good.
I might be a little nasally. Just about like 2 years ago, two acquisition managers, two follow-up managers, and I kind of just blew it all up. It was more work than it was producing results.
Yeah.
And as of right now, we actually only have one acquisition manager in-house and then two follow-up managers.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
We slimmed down and we're doing more deals now because of it.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you get lean, and obviously your acquisitions person's probably a beast.
A beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do they do? Are they dialing too? Or do you have like the VA kind of doing the dialing, get the warm lead and then they're calling and
he's dialing. Yeah. But he's answering all warm leads that come in, all hot leads that come in.
From your, because you have a very robust marketing strategy. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so we have different marketing streams. We get a lot of inbound calls in from direct mail and TV commercials. And then we have PPC, some SEO. It's hard to track SEO, though.
Yeah, SEO
it's
like
almost impossible to track. And then a little bit of cold calling here and there. But, you know, that was like my main strategy 3 years ago. Mm. And basically it's like our lowest yielding marketing strategy.
It really
now.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm finding that too now.
Yeah. It's just a grind.
It's a grind. It, now you can, when we pivoted to commercial, it actually has been one of the better ones. Cause you know, certainly no one's going to type in, you know, sell my warehouse or need to sell my warehouse fast.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah.
So, you know, the calling has always been pretty good on that sense, but in regards to the cold calling that I'm finding now with residential, it's tough. So you're doing direct mail and then the TV commercials. Explain that. What's that look like? I think that's funny.
Yeah. So, I started TV commercials in 2021. And it's by far our best marketing strategy.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, really? PPC is getting up there though. Because we keep increasing PPC.
Yeah.
Because PPC takes some time. But with TV commercials, started in 2021 with the lowest budget that you could.
Okay.
And it's an expensive marketing strategy. So yeah. I just kind of took a leap of faith on it. And we max out our budget in our area for Syracuse. So I literally cannot spend another dollar on TV commercials. Unless like I go on like big networks,
sure.
Like, and I'm not doing that because that's the return's not there. And then we just started TV commercials in like Utica area. Mm. And then we're looking at starting it within like Cortland, Ithaca area now
okay.
too.
Yeah. Okay. Come to Rochester. I don't think anyone's really doing it.
Funny enough, I did.
Oh, okay.
When I was first messaging you.
Yes.
Yeah. So we started TV commercials out here.
Okay.
Yeah. For like 2 months.
What's the deal with Rochester? Why is it so hard?
Dude, good question. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Two, you guys are definitely like, I think probably double the size of like what our area is.
Yeah.
But.
You mean double like of what Syracuse is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not like city, but a whole metropolitan.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know how New York is. It's county based.
Yes.
Right?
It's county based.
Monroe right. County, not yep. Rochester.
Correct. I agree.
Same with Syracuse. It's like Onondaga County, but. So we did TV commercials for 2 or 3 months. I forget now. This was right in the transition period of where my acquisition manager currently now was starting. Mm. And he was very green. So there's a ton of training that he'd go
oh,
in.
Yeah.
So the return wouldn't have been there anyway.
Yep.
But, man, we just got a lot of, like, tough leads. Like, there's some, you know, tough areas in Rochester.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there is.
I don't know the zip codes very well, but some of the areas where it's like, you know, everything's selling for 40,000.
Yeah.
Right. We get a bunch of those leads.
Yep.
But we did do one wholesale in Spencerport.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I think we made like 22 on it.
It's great.
So great wholesale. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
people don't really realize that in like upstate New York, at least in my experience, a $10,000 wholesale fee is a pretty good fee.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like at the end of the day, that's a pretty good fee. You're not getting, this isn't like downtown, you know, Naples, Florida, where you're getting, you know, $100,000 spreads.
Yep.
You know, like it's just, it's a different market here.
Yeah. I can't even imagine like $100 or $100,000 wholesale in upstate New York.
No, I mean, you'd literally, it'd be bananas. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe on something like very large commercial.
Yes.
You could probably imagine that, but, you know, that single family house, it's tough to.
Yeah, our biggest one is 60.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. But like, obviously, like our average is around this year. Our average is like around 21,000.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
but
fantastic.
But it's only because we had two $50,000 ones, so it's like skewing the averages.
Sure,
I'm sure we'll go back down to like 16, 17.
That's still really good.
Yeah,
anything
yeah.
over like, in my opinion, anything over 10 is really good.
It and I'll get back to the Rochester commercials here, but it all stems from like. Finding the right buyers in like the outskirt areas. Mm. That's what helped us with wholesaling.
Okay.
Cause the suburbs, like they're great. Obviously I'm sure that you probably, you know, flip or keep those. But the margins are thin because it's very tough to get those homeowners at prices where it makes
sense. Super competitive.
Very competitive.
Yeah. Super competitive.
But yeah, back to the Spencerport one.
I'm trying to think. I wonder if I like saw this one.
I feel like I might've sent it to you.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I'm actually livid that you didn't.
I think I did.
I'm just kidding.
Dude, I think I did. I think
okay,
I did.
Okay.
Was
it a duplex?
No.
Okay.
No, it was a single family, like a split level actually. Super rough shape.
Oh, really?
I think I sold it for like 146 and the ARV on it was maybe like 325 or something.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like But I got the buyer through a hard money lender out here, actually.
Oh, good.
I've used in the past. All right. Yeah.
Sweet. Did they keep it or did they flip it?
I don't even know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I always like to like check in on that just to see how like people did, because I'm like, I get amped up. I don't really wholesale anymore. Not that I don't like it. I did. It was awesome.
Yep.
When SFR3 was here in town.
Dude. Wait, so you were wholesaling to them
too?
Bro.
That was awesome.
Yeah, no, that's what like really fueled my business.
Yep.
Like that brought us to the next level.
Yep.
Yeah.
2020 was sick. I think it was 2020 or 2021. We went on an absolute tear with SFR3.
Who'd you work with? Chris Lindmark?
Yeah. Shout out Chris Lindmark.
Dude, he's the man.
He is the man. Yeah. He would come up here and we had lunch a few times. Good dude. And did they end up selling everything else in Syracuse? Everything they bought?
Yeah, dude.
It's a nightmare.
Bro,
New York's a nightmare for them.
I saw a couple that I sold them where they sold it for half of what they bought for.
Got crushed. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like wish bad on them or anything. Like, obviously, you know, I want them to be successful. And I thought what they were going to do was going to be great. Like, oh, you're going to take these houses in some really tough areas and really make them nice. And but I don't know about what Syracuse is. I'm sure it's probably similar where you have code compliance, the city's cracking down like bananas on, you know, just freaking, you know, BS stuff. I know you had something about the garbage cans.
Yeah, dude, City of Syracuse is ridiculous.
Is it? It's like Rochester.
Yeah. It's like everything they make you do to jump through hoops. But I'm sure that's probably why they left. But like we made good money while they were here.
Oh my God, it was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. That was like a very nice blip in time because you could just depend on. Like I don't like the thing about wholesaling I don't like is the chasing of the buyer. But that's like the most important thing. I get that. I don't like the auction style stuff.
Me either.
It was never something I'd like to do because I like the relationships with people. And I know you've got some good relationships with like even like on the outskirts. There's that dude that I see all the time. Zimmerman.
Dwayne has turned into out of nowhere.
Yeah.
My best buyer.
He's awesome. Yeah. I met him. I came to a meetup and he's just a hungry dude.
Yep.
I love his posts. There's no video. It's just like really good post content. And I think he's crushing it. I'm happy for his success. But he's got a great thing in just like what you were saying, the outskirts stuff where it's like you got to find that buyer because it's hard to find the buyer for like if I think about Rochester, like what's an outskirt? Like, well, I don't even know. But there are outskirts where you're like, who's buying in Waterloo?
Well, that's where he is.
Right. It's like, who's buying in, you know, Phelps?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't even know if I, and so there's so much opportunity for a guy like you who, for me, it's like, you know, it's not what I want to do. I'm not set up for it any longer. I think that's fantastic.
Well, we're starting to wholesale more. We're literally just buying them and then just putting them on the market right after.
Okay.
Because like some of these areas, investor activity is so low that it would be impossible for us to find the right buyers.
Yeah.
Unless like we were literally out in boots on the ground meeting people at Home Depot.
Sure.
Right.
Right. And that's actually a pretty good strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've met some buyers that way back in the past, but we just bought one in Milford, New York. Probably no one knows where that is.
No.
It's south of Cooperstown. Like it's about 2 hours away from Syracuse.
This is hilarious. I want you to continue the story, but like I'm just thinking about the leads that come in through my website, and I'm like, dog shit.
Yeah, dude. Yes.
And I'm like, where the hell is Corfu? Like, no, I'm not. And then you go there, you're like, hey, there's actually something going on here. Yep. Yeah. So keep going.
And then I'm like, man, if I had like 20 people in a crew and we could all like travel, like rehabbing some of these, but basically. We didn't even want to buy it. Like me and my acquisition manager were joking. We're like, dude, we don't even like, just tell them we'll help them list it.
Sure.
Cause we do that a lot. We help people list their house. Like,
what does that look like?
So my wife, she's an agent. We have an agent team.
Sweet.
Yeah. So like,
so she's listing all your flips, all the hotels,
all the flips.
Do you have a little thing with the wholesalers? We go, hey, you have to use her to list it.
No. We do list a couple of the flips that we sell to people for wholesales, but we were joking around for this one in Milford. We're like, dude, we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Like we have no interest in going there. So the guy wanted like 250 and we told him to list it. He was so adamant. And you probably run into this. It doesn't matter how much you tell them, dude, the market's better for you.
Every time I say
they don't care.
Every time I walk into a house, I go, that's actually in, you know, solid shape. I'm like, put a sign in the ground.
Yep.
And they're like, no shot.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you're also testing them too, like posturing
for
on
sure.
them. And
for
yeah,
sure. Because I, you know, you, but I do let them know, hey, if you put the time in and spent the money to fix this up, you're going to get a lot more than I can give you.
Yep.
And because I want them to really think about that, because mm-hmm. I don't want them coming back later on and be like, dude.
You didn't give me enough.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
I'm this is the math. This is what it qualifies for.
Yep.
Right. With the math that I have. But certainly do like I'll refer you to contractors, the whole thing, and mm-hmm. still they want to work with somebody just like I know for me, and sometimes I don't want to deal with shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm gonna take a haircut on this, but I just don't have the brain power, the capacity. So, and I don't have as many problems as a lot of these people unfortunately do. So when you put all that together, that's how deals are made.
Yep. I mean, I'm a motivated seller right now with one of my houses.
I'm a motivated seller too. Yeah, like I can't tell you how many times I'm a motivated seller. My partner's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, just relax.
I love cutting bait.
Yes.
Like, that's my weakness.
Me too.
I'm like, I hate this deal now. I just like get rid of it. Yeah.
Get rid of it. Yep. Like, this thing is bleeding. Get out.
My wife hates me for that because she's very like, let's try to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
Very stoic.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, get rid of it, please. Get rid of it.
I know I'm weak.
Yeah. Dude,
seriously, me too. I'm weak-minded at times. And I'm like, just stay the course. It's going to be all right. But then you know, I think one of the problems that happens with me, I don't know about you, do you follow like the macroeconomics?
Probably not as much as you do because like you're more in the commercial space than I am.
Sure.
So
it's one of those things where it's always doom and gloom and it's, but I'm like, oh no, this is important for my business. But then I'm looking at it and I go, it's all doom and gloom. And you're like, well, I'm not going to do anything today. Hmm. And so it's actually really bad. It's like scrolling on your phone in a way because it doesn't really get you motivated to actually do stuff. So anyway, that's just an off topic thing, but don't look at the economy. Just look at, you know, what is the deal? How does it look? And because if you buy it right, you can pretty much figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, that's like probably one of the first things you learned in real estate. It was one of the first things I learned is you make money when you buy.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that I look at our deals is there a way for us to lose money at this price? Mm. And if the answer is more than likely no, then we lock it up.
So what is your philosophy then? You get a lead that comes in, a lot of it's through PPC or through TV.
Yeah, direct mail too.
And direct mail.
Yeah.
And what are you doing to like for your lists? Are you using REI Sift or something like that? What are you doing like to make sure that you're not just, because I'm pretty bad in this way.
Yeah, so funny enough, after Fortune Builders, I worked for a big company, like one of the bigger ones, Tiffany High and Josh High. I don't know if you know who they are.
Yeah.
So I ran their acquisition department for a year and a half. And one of the guys there that I helped recruit, basically, his name's Ty. He runs Dataflick, which is a data company.
Okay. Yeah, that's what you use.
Yep.
Okay. And that's for getting lists?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yep. So you don't use PropStream?
No.
Okay. What is that, bullshit?
Yeah. Well, it's not bullshit. It's still like people probably still get great value out of it.
Yeah.
But
what's Dataflick a month?
It depends. Like it's exclusive to your zip code based on the amount of people in your zip code that you like. They only sell their data to a certain amount of people.
Okay.
Yeah. So and it's AI driven machine learning data.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. All right. So
I got to get on there. I'm still on PropStream.
Yeah.
I'll
connect
20 times.
No, PropStream is still good.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a lot of sifting.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of sifting. Why I like it, and maybe it's like, one of the biggest reasons, and I'm sure maybe Dataflick does this too, but hopefully it does. Does it tell you what that the owners own multiple properties?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's all. That's so big in commercial.
Yeah.
So it's really helpful for me. You can't really find that with any other system.
Yeah. Well, with commercial, I mean, data is probably like really, really important.
It's so shitty too.
Yeah.
All the data is so shit in commercial. CoStar's dog crap, Craxy's shit. So if I wonder if that, do they do commercial? Can they find commercial stuff?
Yeah. Really? I mean, the guy is a genius. The guy's really smart.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's awesome, man. But
so that's your, okay. So let's look at it and you don't have to give everything away, but the thing I found is that nobody actually does anything with the information. That's not fair. A lot of people will not do a lot with the information.
Yeah. You can share everything. It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So when you're looking at your acquisition pipeline, it starts with, pulling a list.
Yep.
That's Dataflick.
Yep.
Okay. It goes from there, and then you put it into what? Where does it go next?
So they also will do like a direct mail for you too.
They'll do direct mail. Do you use them or do you use like an open letter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they way better than open letter marketing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've never used open letter, I can't like say
fair
that.
Enough.
Yeah.
And now when you're using it for the mailers, what do they do? Do they like track anything with the mailer for you? Like, it's kind of hard to track mailers. Like,
dude, so ROI. Direct mail is very hard to track.
Yeah.
Like very, very hard.
Yep.
I used to be really strict on trying to just track it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just gave up on
it. Yeah, I know.
And
same.
It, you know, like putting certain numbers on letters and making sure that the person on the phone would ask what letters on the or what numbers on the letter. It's like that's way too much.
Would you ever do like anything with CallRail where you can kind of tell from the phone number?
So we use CallRail, funny enough. Yeah. But also there, like to your point in the beginning when we were talking, like being like a sales guy, I like hate that stuff.
Hate the what stuff?
Admin work, tracking work, KPIs.
It's horrible.
It's, oh my God.
It's horrible.
It doesn't drain my energy more than anything in the world does than that.
Yeah.
So like that's my weakness. Like we have a lot of bad like tracking habits.
It's hard because then you just get that one deal and then you're like, no, everything's fine.
Yep.
We're good. We'll worry about this next month.
Yep.
I know. It is tough. Okay. So what are you doing for CRM?
Podia.
Me too.
Yeah. But
how robust is it? Pretty robust?
It was. It still kind of is.
Yeah.
There's still tons that need to be like
more removed. Robust.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. It's a mess.
I can't give up on this 4-year-old lead.
Dude, we're potentially moving to REI Simply though.
Okay. What's that?
It's a CRM system where like it does a lot of tracking for you.
Okay.
So I know a bunch of investors that use that now. Like they moved from Podia.
Does it still have like the, I'm sure you're doing like the drips through Podio.
Yeah. But the tough thing about the drips through Podio is like, dude, there's so many technical issues with Podio all the time. With REI Simply, they have the dialer built into their CRM, so you can send text messages through their CRM.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a lot easier.
So you don't have any cold call systems?
No, barely not. No, yep. No.
Yeah.
We used to use ZenCall, like and I had 7 cold callers at one time.
Yeah.
And like we would just run through data.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to make some changes.
If it works, it works. I mean, I don't know if you know who Tommy Haar is. He's out in Columbus.
No,
he's big on Instagram, and I met him at a mastermind previously, just about like 6 months ago, and he's crushing it, like doing like 20 deals a month or something like that. He was only doing cold calling.
Really?
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the data, though.
Yeah.
Like if the data's not good, it's just. You're just wasting money.
Yeah.
You're wasting time. That's where the hiccups are.
It kills your acquisition manager's energy too.
Yeah.
Cause they like get how many, like they probably get like a certain amount of leads a day because of the cold calling, right?
Sure.
And they have to, you know, call a lot of them.
And it's the following up, the constant follow up, because all of a sudden they're like, yeah, no, I sold that. And you're like, oh my God, it's insane. It's so, but I have one rock star acquisitions person, and then I have 2 cold callers, and it's on me though. I mean, all the reason why they're either good is because of her,
yep.
And if it's bad, it's because of me. Yep. Like I'm not giving them enough. So what you did with the huddles, I think that's great. But that's nice to hear that you have a lean team. It's kind of easier to. It's not easier, but it's simpler to have those huddles when you just have like a really core group.
Yeah, and like if they're all a good culture fit, that's what matters a lot.
Okay.
Like I don't like toxic environments.
Yeah.
I've had toxic employees, toxic contractors.
Yeah.
It just ruins everything.
It really does.
It does. It mentally kills you. It's exhausting.
Yeah. What do you, so, okay. So you got the mailing system through that, which is, that sounds really nice. the TV ads, what does that look like? Like, I know you have, is it like through Spectrum? Like, who do you work with?
No, so I work with like a manager, like a TV manager.
Okay.
And they handle everything.
Are you on the camera? Are you doing
Yeah, it's
thing?
Me actually. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. So, and when I filmed it, it was like, it was a, you know, basically right at the post end of COVID, right? Of like 2020. And I gained like 30 pounds through COVID. I had my glasses on at the time too. So like now when people see me, when they see the commercial, like Sellers, they literally don't believe it's me. Like,
oh, that's
how
funny.
Different I look on it. Oh, it's crazy.
Funny.
Yeah.
What is, how much did, how did you get Fortune Builders? Like, why did you start working there?
Cause I had nothing. Yeah. So that's basically the reason.
Really?
Yeah. So if any opportunity came my way that seems somewhat decent, I would have took it.
Okay.
Luckily it turned out to be what I believe is like probably the best real estate education company to ever be created.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they the same franchise like Home Investors?
No.
Okay.
No,
that's not. So Fortune Builders is, what is it?
So, like, you probably see on Instagram all the time now or social media, like, people selling coaching programs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, before that was all popular, Fortune Builders was around. And they sold coaching and education.
Okay.
Through $30,000 to $50,000 packages.
Yeah, it's big time.
Yeah. And they did seminars. So, seminar sales, that's what I always preach, is, like, what I grew into. That's where I learned everything, seminar sales. And that's, like, I always tell my acquisition manager this is, like, I call it, like, relic sales. Like, people actually don't know about seminar sales. It's an underground sales world where I think like the best salespeople are. Because you're selling on stage, you're using a bunch of NLP, like high level sales, and then the people in the back are selling these people who go to like an event, a 2-day, 3-day event on a $30,000 to $50,000 packages right then and there.
Yeah.
Right. So Fortune Builders, it wasn't great for the real estate education. For me personally, it was for other people. It was the leadership training, the sales training, the culture training, and like understanding like what that stuff looks like.
Mm.
That's what I've took from my time there into like implementing into what I do now.
Is that something you want to do? Like
no.
coaching?
Well, maybe to an extent, nothing like that size.
Sure. I mean, that's bananas.
Like, it's bananas.
You're doing radio ads to get people to come to these stadiums and you're selling them. I, you know, obviously went to a couple masterminds. I was part of masterminds where, you know, I was one of those people signing up.
Yep.
And I was like, I want to do that, what that guy's doing.
Yeah.
I did want that. Like, I was like, I want to be on the stage freaking selling my package.
Yep.
I don't know if I want to get, I think what happens is, too many people like get into business for like 2 to 3 years and then try to be a coach.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be, I really should have a lot more gray hair before I get into coaching because I want to be able to really have all the experience. And I think I don't have nothing against coaching, but if that's the way you make your money, it's a little strange to me where it's like, you really should make your money on the real estate. And then, what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. But that's just not how it is in the industry, man.
Yeah.
I know a lot about a lot of people, like influencers that sell stuff and, you know.
They have like a couple properties.
Yeah. But there's a couple that like really do it.
Yeah.
Right. Who? Like Tommy Haar is one of them.
Okay.
Like he's crushing it. He does, you know, coaching and mentorship. Tiffany and Josh High, like I said, like they're the same thing. And then I'm actually in a mastermind, like my mentor, Austin Rutherford, he's huge too. He's from Columbus. He sells coaching and he's probably like the most authentic person that I've met in the industry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very humble, but crushing it.
Crushing it?
Yes.
Yeah. Ohio is such a nice market. I feel like that's a good, great market.
That's like the mecca for real estate investors is Columbus.
It really is.
Yeah.
There's so many freaking, there's still good deals there and they're so, the population's big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the thing with Rochester. It's so small.
You say that, but like my perspective is different on that. I don't think so.
Yeah. Too big.
Yeah. Well, no, not too big, but like, so I was talking to my wife about this. The metropolitan area of Syracuse is really big, like mileage radius wise. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause there's like, you know, upstate New York is like this, right? It's like nothing for 20 minutes. And then a population center of like 20,000 people, right? In Syracuse, like if you add up the counties that we do deals in, there's a population size of like almost 2 million people.
Okay.
Right? And that's a very healthy market. There's a ton of deals to do there.
Yeah, I agree.
And you guys are probably like more than that. 3-4 million.
Well, Monroe County is really only like 800,000 people.
Yeah, but if you add up all the other counties surrounding it.
Sure.
And I know that, like, you know, technically you're not going to go out there or flip or anything like that, but.
I mean, we would. I think maybe we need to, like, rethink on that a little bit. You know, it's kind of just like you're biased. You know, you're automatically biased. Like, nobody flips over in Albion, and they're like, no, there's people that make money in Albion.
One of our best flips was in the outskirts.
Yeah.
And it was Marathon, New York, okay. Which you probably never heard of that.
Only because of wrestling. I mean, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could see that being like a wrestling place. It's right. Like farmers and stuff.
Exactly.
It's south of Cortland. Okay. People know where Cortland is because of college. And it was a split level. We bought it for, I think, like, this is like 2 or 3 years ago now, but like 65. And we had to help them move to Kentucky. I paid a moving company for that, too.
Love that.
Yeah, so. And then... I forget what the rehab was, like 65 or 70,000 or something like that. But it sold for 250. I think we made like 80K on it.
It was one of your best flips.
Yeah, one of my better ones.
That's great.
Yeah.
What is like your profits on flips? Like just not like range.
Yeah, I actually took some notes on my phone, but it's like 34,000 was as our average profit.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which it for us, you know, they were so much higher last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's what's your market looking like right now? It's
well, our market's softer. Pretty hot right now.
Is it?
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. Because of Micron moving in.
Yep. Yeah. Is that actually happening?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of negative people in Syracuse, New York.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't think it's happening.
Yeah. I don't think it's happening.
You don't?
No. Only because of everything that's ever said was going to happen has never happened in Rochester.
That's you sound like a Syracuse person.
Yeah. So, and I'm not trying to be a naysayer, but I'm like, yeah, we were supposed to be the photonics capital of the world. We're supposed to be all these different things. And anytime Chuck Schumer comes on and says we're going to be the next thing, it's usually horseshit.
Yes, I do agree with that.
100%. I know there's money that's already been spent though for Micron, so at least there's something that's there.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
So like, if they don't come. A lot of people lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's other businesses coming too, like because of that.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be like bringing what, 20,000 jobs?
Yep.
That's fucking insane.
High paying jobs.
Yeah. That's so amazing.
I know.
That literally changes the entire.
It changed everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why it's hot. People are still looking at Syracuse. What are your thoughts on like, I have this thesis where people are going to be moving back to upstate New York because of climate. And we have fresh water, we have, you know, decent infrastructure, we have decent schools, we have good healthcare. What are your thoughts there?
I've said this for a long time, because I lived in Columbus at one point, with you know, because of Tiffany and Josh High's company, is I think that upstate New York is Columbus, Ohio, with bad laws.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, we could be huge.
Yeah.
Right. We just don't have good legislation for businesses. So like businesses just don't like to be here.
Yeah.
But like everything you said, I agree with. We're a central hub for the East Coast.
Sure.
You know, that's why Micron came to Syracuse. That's why Amazon put like a huge warehouse in Syracuse too.
Right. And Clay.
Yeah. Liverpool Clay. Oh, same Liverpool thing. Clay. Yeah.
I went to Lemoyne and I loved my time.
You went to Lemoyne?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up in Syracuse? Did you grow up in Syracuse?
Yeah, Liverpool.
Oh, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Okay. What year did you graduate?
2011.
Okay. Yeah. I just graduated from college in 2011. And yeah, no, it was great. I'm investing in some apartment buildings there in like Tip Hill.
I was just actually going to, because I looked at your website because I was like, you know, doing some research last night. And I saw, you know, I clicked on the portfolio and I saw Tipperary Hill and I looked at that property and I was like, I know what that is.
Do you know that apartment building?
Dude, so how long have you owned that for?
Well, it's not, I'm a limited partner in it. I think it's been like 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, 2020, 2019.
That's a good little spot.
I love it. It's crushed.
Oh, yeah.
We just did the refinance. So, you know, for those who don't know with like limited partnerships, but I work with Gary and John. They're the general partners. I left CGI. I had this 401k. I'd been putting all my money into this 401k. And I, you know, when I left, it became, you know, just sitting there. And I was like, let me figure something out. At that time, I've been going to all the Michael Blanc apartment investing type stuff. And I was like super into like, yeah, I'm going to be, you know, a general partner and all this stuff. I'm going to, you know, do syndications.
Yeah.
And they had this deal. I met them they had like a meetup and they're like, hey, we're going to start this thing. We're going to try to get some apartment buildings. And then they did, they locked that up. I moved my entire 401k into the deal. And, you know, basically what they underwrote for like a 10-year play, we got it in that 5 years.
I'm not surprised.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So we just did the refinance. I got all my money back, but I'm still an owner.
That's huge.
Right. And so I still get the dividend, all that great things. And so now they bought another one that they closed on, then I'm putting that, when I got my refi back, into this one.
Syracuse market?
Yeah. Or? It's another one. Let me see what your thoughts are on this area. Summit Hill?
Summit Hill.
Here, I'm going to turn my phone on and then look in my email. But we bought another one that's probably not as good. It's more of a single. If Tip Hill is a home run, then this is definitely a single or like a bunt single. Holly Green?
Yeah, Holly's okay.
Yeah.
Holly's okay.
That's all okay?
Yeah. It's just, it's right.
A little tougher than Tip.
The north side of Syracuse is the most pocketed area of the city.
Okay.
So like three streets over could be good. Three streets over can be war zone.
Mm.
Right. So
I think we're probably right on the cusp there, but it's still,
yeah, it's close, but no, it's a decent little spot.
You just hope it's going to get better with all the great things that are happening.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I mean, I've bought in war zones. I'm sure you have.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. It is what it is.
I want to just see.
Tip Hill one, though, I'm sure that does well because our Airbnb in Tip Hill, it's our best one. It absolutely crushes.
Yeah, this was Burnett Park.
Okay. Yeah.
Decent?
It's okay. Yeah.
You're like, get out.
No. Yeah. I'll talk to you after
Don't
this.
Don't do it.
No. That's a decent one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, all right. What else do you do? So you're flipping, you're wholetailing. A lot of it's wholetailing. What's been like your best so far? What are you really liking right now? Wholesaling more than wholetailing?
So
no more flips. Are you still flipping?
Still flipping.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hard money, private investors?
All private now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it took some time to get like all 100% private.
Yep. And are they giving you 100% of the financing and the rehab?
Yep. Which is like, for anyone listening, is a game changer.
It's the only way you can really do it.
Yes. Because you get all the rehab money up front.
Yep.
And what we do is we overborrow.
Yep.
Right.
You have to.
Yeah, exactly. So we're overborrowing so we can get like interest payments up front, holding costs up front.
Yep.
So that we try to be like $0 into our own money into a flip.
How do you track everything? Like, because for us, credit cards can sometimes get a little crazy.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, they roll over a little bit and you don't love that, but it is a part of, like, how do you guys organize that?
Yeah. So our first couple of years of like scaling, it wasn't organized.
Yeah.
It was all over the place. Mm-hmm. Now we have business credit cards, one credit card for each LLC.
Okay.
Then they have high limits, like 70, 80, 100,000.
Yeah.
And we just run them up and then use the liquid to pay them off.
Yep.
And then we track everything with QuickBooks,
yep,
with the bookkeeper. But then also I have a Google Sheet where we have a VA just import everything weekly.
Mm.
And it tracks everything down to like the penny for every single expense that we have.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So you're sending them receipts and then they're just inputting it to VA?
So they have a Home Depot account.
Okay.
And then,
so they can log into the Home Depot and see?
Yes.
Okay.
And I make my contractors, whenever they go to Home Depot, they do something called a text confirm. I don't know if you do that.
Yep.
And when they do the PO job number, it has to be the property that it's associated to.
Yep.
And I make it so they can only use the ones that I put on my Home Depot account. So they can't put like their own like PO job number.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like the addresses that I put in the Home Depot
before account. You would confirm it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I spend like 10 to 15 minutes with my VA just in case like the Home Depot person like put like a custom one in there, fixing and being like, okay, that's for that property. That's for that property. And then she'll take that and then put it into our Google Sheet.
Smart.
And then we have Slack, which is like the communication. And anytime there's like labor payments or payments outside of our Home Depot account, our contractors or myself will just message in the Slack with the VA, da-da-da-da amount for blah-blah-blah property.
Mm. Did you ever think about hiring in-house contractors?
Yes. My contractors, for the most part, only work on our properties.
Got it.
So, but like they're not employed by us. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's actually probably, you know, I think that is a big expense for us is because we have full-time guys.
And on the books?
Yeah.
Contractors?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And you really need to figure that. Like, that can get really, that can get tough. But then it's like you can control so much better.
It's more beneficial than it is detrimental.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And what it did for us is, and especially, but you have people that you basically are, you know, they're your contractor.
Yeah,
you
basically.
Know, is that now there's so many shitty flippers here.
Yes.
And probably in Syracuse too, mm-hmm. where we are the, like, people will ask, like, our agent, Amber, is the wife of my partner. Mm. She is obviously a partner too. Where they're like, hey, when's the next suplex flip coming up? Because it's like, we know what you're going to get with a suplex flip compared to a, you know, Joe Schmo flip.
Yep.
And I think, especially in these tougher times, these tougher market, like, you know, with interest rates and everything, people will really, they'll go to quality. And so that's kind of where we, like, can rest our head on. It's more expensive, but we can have more control. And I think the quality will win long term.
Yeah, you probably have a very same strategy than I do, though.
Yep.
Like, hearing that, because my rehab numbers, whenever I talk to other people who are flipping,
yeah,
ours are always, like, our budgets are always higher.
Ours are very high.
Yeah, people are, like, I'm always, like, they're always, like, what do you budget for repairs on this? I'm, like, probably higher than what you would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, yeah. We spend more than most people.
We can't get out of a flip for less than $50,000 rehab.
It's very hard now. Yeah, it's very hard. I mean, unless it's, like, cosmetic only, nothing.
Yeah, and rarely, you know, when you're starting to do stuff, do you guys, do you put in, like, the appliances when you do a flip, or do you leave them empty?
We put them in.
Yep, same.
Yep.
Some people have been able to get away with that, but I don't
know. Washer and dryer is a hit and miss. It depends on, like, the ARV.
What about, are you staging it?
So, half and half. Mm-hmm. Half and half.
The ones where you're like, this is a money one, let's stage it.
Yeah, and there's one stager in Syracuse who's, like, insanely talented.
Mm.
And, like, I'm spoiled with what she did at mm-hmm. some of our properties where mm-hmm. it's like, I don't even want anyone else to stage it.
Yeah.
She's too busy to stage every single one.
Sure.
So that's kind of where.
Is what range and price do they, is it depend on square footage or?
It depends on square footage in the rooms that she does. But, like, I think we pay $2,000,
$2,500.
Sounds about
right. Yeah. And you have rental property?
Yep.
Okay. What does that look like?
So I actually wrote some notes down.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let it rip.
My, let's see here. So I'm big on, like, I don't know how you feel about this, especially since, like, social media, like, has become big. I think unit count is phony.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know people, I'm sure you do.
When I started, I thought it was the most important.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure, like,
it's literally the least important.
It's really the least important
thing. Yeah, so when people flex unit count, like, I just know. Like,
yeah, what's your cat? What's how much you actually make?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I actually, you know, came here and I'm not even going to say the unit count because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
But we're at 64% LTV for our portfolio.
Great.
Yeah, so total portfolio value is $10.7 million.
Excellent.
Excluding B&Bs, we're at $218,000 a year net.
Great.
Only assuming 10% vacancy and maintenance, though, and in-house management, too.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, you're taking that out in consideration, so that's great.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So is that a part of, like, the strategies? Like, hey, we got to refi some shit? Like, hey, we got to buy some stuff and then refinance it. Or, like, does that, you don't even, do, like, why would you buy a rental?
Oh, like, why would I?
Yeah.
Like, why would I choose to, like, hey, this is one I want to keep?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I am a Burr guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I basically will only buy off Burr and then a creative finance deal here and there. So it has to make sense Burr wise.
Yep.
Like, if I can leave $10,000 in a Burr, or obviously less, I most likely will keep it.
Mm.
If it's in a suburb or it's a duplex in the city and the rent for the single family suburb, I want to be somewhere between like $1,900 a month to like $2,300 a month.
Okay.
If I have to rent it out for more than that, I kind of flip those.
Yeah.
And then for the duplexes, like, it just matters about cash flow and just running the numbers for those ones.
And like, you have a couple Airbnbs you do yep. with your units?
Three Airbnbs.
Who manages that?
My wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a lot. Or are you good with it?
We're kind of good with it.
Oh, okay.
To be honest, like...
I have a limiting belief that it's like a nightmare.
Mm,
okay.
No.
Great.
It is at scale, I'm sure.
Yeah.
With three...
Sure. Like, that's true. That's...
But you also probably have what I have that most people don't, which is like... And you have it more than I do, is full-time people.
Sure.
Right? Who are on the books.
Yeah.
So like if you do have maintenance, like maintenance doesn't scare me because like in long-term, like you get a maintenance call, like... It is what it is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Part of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Airbnbs, it's not as like daunting as people think, especially if you have your systems in place.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Are they furnished finders or are you doing midterm rental or are they just all Airbnb?
They're all Airbnb.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we have like one midterm rental that was an Airbnb because it sucked as an Airbnb.
Okay. Yeah. Are you, when you said creative financing, do you do any like seller financing deals?
Yep.
Okay. How does that look like for you?
So
how do you approach it?
We don't like approach sellers all the time with seller finance. It's kind of like game planning with my acquisition manager and being like, I think seller finance is the play here.
Mm.
It's not something that like we talk about with every single seller, which is maybe a mistake. We probably could get more seller finance if we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how many seller finance deals we have as rentals, maybe like 8.
That's great.
Yeah. Nothing crazy, but yeah,
That's a very solid part.
We only have one subject two.
Yeah, that I
sub two in New York State, like
it's a nightmare.
I don't care what like these gurus say. It's not easy.
It's not easy, and I don't love the like all the things that it's a big responsibility to do a sub two.
Yes,
it's such a big responsibility.
Well, you
as the buyer,
you've done so many like. Transactions, right? So you worked with attorneys.
Yeah.
You know how amazingly annoying that can be.
Yeah.
People don't understand, like, if you get an off-market deal, they do the abstract, they do the title. And there's a mortgage from 1960 where the discharge was never filed.
Sure. Happens all the time. I have a sale right now that is not closing because
of that.
Yeah.
They don't understand that with subject twos, what happens if that mortgage company sells it to two other people?
Yeah.
Two other mortgage companies, and it's very hard to track that down. You need to get a satisfaction, and you need to get a payoff letter and a discharge. And like it might take you 7 months to sell that thing if you get down to that point.
Yeah, it's I really don't think it's not the best strategy for me.
No,
me and not in New York.
Nope.
Yeah, we like I like seller financing. Of course, I prefer seller financing because for me, and I'm sure probably for you. In those deals, I'm willing to pay more because the cash flow is going to be great, and I can really negotiate the interest rates pretty effectively for us, and then for them too, because a lot of these people I'm working with are older investors, so they probably bought that way too.
All my seller finance deals are low cash flow, super high equity payoff.
Okay.
Yeah, like they're all like 5-10 year ones.
Okay.
We're like. One I own free and clear already.
Sweet.
And then a couple others, like within the next 5 years, I own like 5 or 6 of them free and clear.
Oh, okay. So you're making big, big payments.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That's interesting.
The rent's paying everything. And basically, it's like $100 to $200 cash flow.
Yeah.
And it's all an equity play.
That's great. I love that. Love that. Are you like, what else? You got something going on with, you're doing like a showcase.
Yes.
What does that look like?
Yeah. So I'm doing a property tour.
Sweet.
It was going to be the last weekend of May, like the Saturday, but we're actually going to do the first weekend of June.
Okay.
The Saturday, but I'm going to bring people through like 3 to 4 properties.
Okay. Like the flips that you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Flips. So one that is already completed, so they can see that. One that we didn't even start yet, so they can see that.
Yep.
And then two that we're in the midst of doing. And then being able to show them like, hey, this is how I got the deal. This is what I paid. This is what I put in repairs. This is what we budgeted.
Great.
Here's how we got the lender for it. Here's how we got the seller for it. And, just kind of share all that stuff with people.
People have to pay to do that, right?
No.
Oh, wow. You're doing it for free.
All for free.
Wow. Why?
And I'm not even selling anything.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. I mean, we did that. We did a flip tour.
Yeah.
We charged for it. And then... You know, we got the bus, the whole thing, lunch, the whole thing.
That's cool.
It was awesome. And, you know, we charged like $400-$500.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got a good response. But I love with that. It seems like a no-brainer.
Yours with the bus tour is a little bit different, though. Like, that is, like, worth the money. Like,
yeah. And we were, like, going hard on the bus. Like, we were just talking about, you know, everything, and we were giving everything, like giving away, like, you know, here's the CRMs to use, here's all these things, and you know, even here's the hard money lenders, like, not like that, that's nothing. I mean, it's, there's something there, but
No, I mean, I think the same way as you, like, cause you're like, oh yeah, it is what it is. But to some people, that's everything.
That's everything.
It was everything to me when I was first starting.
Sure.
Like any little nugget.
It's a blueprint.
Right. The stuff that we probably take for granted now.
Absolutely.
Was the stuff that, like, I was yearning for.
Right.
You know?
What do you want to do in 5 years?
Great question. I used to be the guy who shiny penny syndrome. Right, like jump from thing to thing, and I finally just planted my flag in single family.
Yeah.
And commercial has been that shiny penny for me for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I know all the benefits of it, forced appreciation, like, you know, the cost segregation studies on those, helping you with taxes. So commercial is probably where I will end up being in 5 years, but I like what I'm doing right now, and I see, like, in the next 3 years, if we do this every single year, I'll be in a great spot.
I don't disagree. I think people get so hung up on the fact, like, when you go to, like, I don't know if you've been to, like, a commercial mastermind of sorts, and if they find out you're a single family guy, they're like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the reality, it's like, well, I make more money than you're making.
Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
That 90% of these people who do all of this commercial, they're making nothing.
Yeah.
It's but they just have a ton of equity.
Sure.
They could refinance.
Sure.
But it's not as glamorous as it looks. But if you get the right commercial deal, it's better than all the single families absolutely. That someone has.
Yeah. I mean, you need that one where you're like, oh yeah, I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
Because the amount of work it does take, did you just even make that $20,000 assignment fee or the $30,000 flip? It's a lot of work.
A ton.
It's a ton of work.
Yes.
And yes, I'm grateful, all those great things. But, you know, don't get me wrong. There's times where I'm like, man, I could just kind of work this job and make, like, the same amount, you know. Do you ever have those feelings, or am I alone?
I did, I did. Yeah. Like, we've gotten to a point now where I have those feelings a lot less than I used to.
Yeah.
But I definitely have those. I think every entrepreneur does.
Yeah.
Like, I could hang it up right now and, like, be comfortable and then go work for someone else and make great money.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the challenge you have as an entrepreneur.
It comes and goes. Like, if we have, like, a shitty flip or, like, in, you know, you're like, ah, damn. What am I doing this for?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard.
Oh, the most mentally tolling thing in real estate, commercial, everything, all of everything combined, is a shitty flip.
It is.
Like, you hate your life for that whole month that you're at the tail end of it.
Yep.
You hate your life.
Yep.
Like, it's the worst.
I'm lucky where my partner Matt has that feeling a lot more.
Oh, because
he's like, I got to get these guys out of this place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, he's like, I just want this to be done.
You've lost on a flip before, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your biggest loss?
It was our first flip. I'm very grateful in the fact that we've only lost on one flip.
Nice.
And it was our first flip.
Yep.
And that was, I think we lost like $3,000.
Yeah. So funny enough, my first two I lost money on.
Yep.
It was like two and then like five.
Sure.
Thousand. And then didn't lose any.
Yep.
And then we had an absolute stinker.
Oh no.
2023 going into 2024, we lost almost 25K on it.
It happens though.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens. And don't get me wrong, we've lost money on like refis.
Sure.
On packages.
Yep.
Where you think you're pulling out something and you're actually bringing money to the table. I've done that.
Yep.
When we didn't really know what we were doing. And, you know, that happens. You know, but in commercial, it makes sense why you have to be, typically for commercial, it's like you're not just like a commercial investor, you also are a business owner that's doing something completely different.
Yep.
It's interesting as we're learning this world that it's just so much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Like things sit way longer, but once it's filled, it's like the greatest feeling of all time getting it off your plate.
You bought a warehouse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my mentor, Austin, Rutherford that I was talking about, I actually had my mastermind with him today in our group. He is huge in small bay warehouses. Like
amazing.
He's been preaching them to me, telling me, Ethan, you have to get into it. Like he showed the numbers on his most recent one. Mm. It's insane.
I bet.
Insane.
They're simple to rent.
Yep.
You know, it's not a ton of labor in order to get them ready. They're not around here in upstate New York. That's the difference.
And I said that too. I'm like, man, because he told me some of his tenant pool, like some of these businesses are making crazy money that are moving into his place. But yeah, there's not enough out here in upstate.
When you go to Florida, you see them, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure probably Ohio.
Yeah.
And unless I'm just an idiot, I don't see them a lot. People are building them now, but I don't see them like, oh, we can just take this one over and figure it out.
And I don't know how it is in Rochester, probably very similar for Syracuse. Any of the warehouses that you can buy, like 90% of them are just dust. Like, they're done for.
Yeah, old. And they're not adequate
for
what people are doing now. Yeah. And we learned that the hard way on the first one. We were like, oh, you can't put a semi, you can't get a semi because it's the narrow road.
I'm sure there's so many little intricacies that you learned. Like, yeah.
But, you know, it's part of the deal. Like, when you bought your first rental or you do your first flip, like, it's not all freaking just you go in and you're green all the time. Yeah. Like, sometimes you've got to learn a little bit and take a loss.
Did you avoid like big multis when you decided to go into commercial? Because I'm probably going to do that for upstate New York at least.
Avoid multifamily?
Big ones, yeah.
Yeah. So we 2 years ago, we bought a 79-unit apartment building.
Okay.
That I am a general partner on. And that's been actually going really good.
Mm-hmm.
But we bought it, and it's like in a, I would say it's a B area, but it's kind of like a C building.
Mm.
And we've been able to keep our rents relatively lower compared to what you see out there. So we're always full.
Yep.
And I think we have like two evictions going on right now, and we have two vacancies that are getting filled.
That's not bad at all.
No, I mean, it's,
you know, I won't avoid that.
Huh?
I wouldn't avoid that.
Yeah. That, you know, we probably paid what you're supposed to pay for it.
Yep.
But you know, we've taken the rents from, you know, $700 to $900 on like a studio.
Yep.
And then the one beds from like, you know, $800 to $1,100, just literally what is like the market, but lower than the market. I mean, one bedrooms in, what are one bedrooms in Syracuse?
It depends on the area.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but like 12 to 15.
Yeah. So we're still like below a super, you know, like a brand new build. It's like, you know, or not even a brand new build, but a fully like crazy remodel. I mean, you're paying $1,400 to $1,500 for one bed. They're not brand new remodeled, but they're like, yeah, solid area. It's in a good area, like solid. And you're getting $1,100. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I would probably buy more, but you'd have to have really good systems in place in regards to management.
For sure. Tough. Yeah. But I don't know about you, but the management companies in Syracuse are terrible.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. They're not great here.
They're
not great here either. But I know Gary and John went through like three of them before they found this person that now is managing. I think now we have like 120 units that I'm a partner in. And I guess they're really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard though. Went through a bunch to find that.
Yeah.
And you still need someone anal that's as the GP just checking on these people weekly.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, back to the avoiding, I'm not going to avoid them, but I'm going to be like incredibly picky.
Sure.
I probably will gravitate more towards like warehouse, storage units, things like that.
Yeah.
Cause, the maintenance on those long-term are just so easy.
Yeah, exactly. And you get that 5-year triple net tenant and you just walk away.
Exactly.
And that's what we did. But anything you want to leave us with, Ethan, this was amazing. I'm really glad to meet you. This is the first time we've actually met.
Yeah. Is that, I came here thinking I didn't know if we were going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I have more to talk about.
We have so much more. I don't know how long we've been going yet.
Yeah.
You're an hour 5 minutes.
Shit. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that we should probably wrap it up.
For sure.
Thanks again for coming on, man.
Yeah, man.
I know. I'm really glad you came here. You didn't have to. So thanks for taking the time to come on. I think this is extremely valuable to everybody.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say for people like just in real estate that like haven't done a deal, I think that's like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like anyone listening for that is just swing the bat. Just swing the bat.
Yep.
Just like if you're afraid to lose money, then you're never going to get into this business.
You're never going to get in this business.
You know,
you got to take big swings. And I think it starts with just having some confidence.
Yep.
And if you don't have that, go into personal development.
Or work for someone in the business.
Sure.
And just learn from them.
Yeah.
Hey, you may stick around. You might not. Who knows?
I love it. Take a swing. Follow Ethan. He's got a great Instagram. He's always doing some great stuff. What is your Instagram
handle? It's Ethan Cavello. So last name K-A-W-E-L-O.
I'm a big fan of what he's putting together. He posts a lot. He's got some funny stuff in there too. Anyway, guys, that's it. Take care. Marty Grizzani Show. Catch us next time. Peace.